You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome back to Fly on the Call, and welcome back to Casey Crawford of Virginity. He's the first two-time guest on the podcast after joining us for our Best of 2019 episode at the start of the year. And on my personal list was Virginity's debut with Time. Falling somewhere in the sweet spot between punk and power pop, Virginity is back, newly signed to Wiretap Records, and getting ready to release an EP called Death to the Party on June 5th. Casey and I talk about Virginity's growth, the new EP, and the first single off it, Bad Call, which is available now.
What kind of like music and comics and stuff have you been consuming to keep yourself mentally stable?
Man, I've had a hard time focusing on music because we're working on our next record and I'm writing.
Fair enough.
I write in big batches, like I don't do like a song every couple of weeks. It's like for like a month, I write like 2, 3, 4 songs a week, which is currently the time I'm in right now. So when I listen to music during that, I feel like I'm fucking Neo and I'm seeing code and not actual things. So like when I'm listening to shit, I'm not like, I'm processing it like a fucking, like a robot. I'm like, interesting melody, cool part. Like,
nice.
Haven't really been reading comics. I can't go to my store to pick up my books.
Fair enough.
So I started reading the Dark Tower books.
You mentioned like how you go through like big spurts of writing where you write like 3 or 4 songs a week. Is that like how the EP came together, just from one of those spurts, or was it like a mix of multiples of those?
That was kind of a spurt. For sure, like the first song, Fest 17, I wrote pretty shortly after Fest 17, so that's been a minute. But then the rest of them, Bad Call, Fall of Try, and Can I Borrow Your Mistakes, I wrote within a week of each other.
And like, how does that compare to with Time, like, because you're writing that without even kind of having it be an official project, kind of?
Yeah, a lot different. And this writing that I'm doing for even the next thing right now is even different than the EP stuff, because like the EP stuff I've had for a while, like I wrote it not that long after With Time. You know, it's just now coming out. This stuff that we're working on now is like even more different, and I guess the difference is exactly what you said, like With Time was made in a vacuum. And there was a possibility it doesn't even make it to anyone's ears besides mine and Jim's. Mm. So this one, I knew people were going to hear it. And that was in the back of my mind a little bit. And it's even more so now. And I'm probably fucking this whole thing up. Because I'm losing perspective entirely on everything. Hopefully everybody likes it. But yes, it was definitely written differently in the sense that I was just like, well, I know people are gonna hear this for sure, so I should like maybe think about like, I don't know, parts. Virginity was beholden, like the first record With Time was beholden to no song patterns, no thought to melody, really, outside of it. It was just like blunt emotion. And this is still blunt emotion. I can't escape that lyrically, but in terms of melody and in terms of song, like a little more thought was put into it, just because I was just like, well, shit, it's got to be better than the last thing.
That's funny, because I have in my notes, like, I was gonna say that it runs me a lot, the EP reminds me a lot of the new Spanish Love Songs album, where it's like, you know, both of your first, well, Schmaltz isn't technically the first, but first like fully written as the band they wanted to be, like your first LPs were kind of like, you know, over the top craziness. And like, then, you know, this is a little more like, it has the same energy, but it's like kind of like more dense and like reined in a way. So it's interesting that you kind of like said that, because Dylan was saying kind of a lot of the similar stuff when I talked to him.
Yeah, it's different when you think, when you're thinking about the fact that you have, you know, an audience, however big, you know, there's obviously way fucking bigger than ours. I mean, ours, you know, I feel like ours is huge. I know that it's not, but I feel like it is, just because I'm never going to, I feel, be able to escape my mindset from With Time, which was that I was just like, well, 12 of my friends will listen to this. So if like a thousand people do, I'm just like, that might as well fucking be a million.
Yeah, I feel that. But I mean, like, as far as, you know, you said you wrote the EP like not as long after With Time, like how do you view it now versus With Time, like, as especially as far as like the writing process, like, are you glad that you took the more time on the new stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a better, I think they're better songs, in terms of song, I guess. Like, I don't know, With Time is like, I'll never be able to recapture that freedom that. Mm-hmm. That's all done for us now and will be forever. I was just on, I just did Molly's podcast yesterday.
Yeah, she told me that.
And we kind of got into this a little bit, which is just like, when a band makes their first album, like, that's the only time they get to be truly, like, their inhibitions are completely fucking gone. There are none, because your audience is like not exist. It's in your head. If you even think you're gonna have one, it only exists in your head, and you're just making art with your friends, and you're not ashamed to do something fucking weird or kind of lame or seemingly lame, but it might actually be cool. So, and like, that's very much what With Time is. It's just like, it's very blunt and open and honest, and you know, no audience. And this time, like, yeah, I'm glad we took more time, because I hear things in With Time where I'm just like, oh my god, why would I say that or do that thing, like, but I was just like going at it at the time, like, so yeah, it's we'll never be able to recapture that, but hopefully it'll be better. I think it's better. And like, I'm even like, the EP hasn't come out yet, but for me it's been done for a while, and now we're writing these new things and we're starting to like demo them out, and like, I already, even though the EP hasn't hit the world yet, in my mind it's a thing that's passed. And I'm already like thinking like, oh, this new shit is so much better than the EP.
That's interesting. If we weren't in lockdown, I would be curious to see how that like affected your experience at like the live show. I guess, could you think about how it might affect that?
Yeah, well, like, so, well, okay, so I can barely listen to With Time. But when we, and it's been the case since, you know, it came out, I'm just like, I can't hear these songs anymore. But with an audience, it becomes new to me, or at least more exciting, especially if the crowd is like in and excited about it, then, you know, that sort of gives it new life for me too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I imagine that's how I'll feel for anything forever. If there's, you know, even 3 or 4, 5 people in front of you singing the shit you wrote back at you, like, I don't know, that's exciting no matter what.
For sure, I can imagine. And I mean, I feel like a lot of the kind of themes in like Virginity's music are like, you know, like mental health and self-worth, self-improvement, stuff like that. Like, I guess, can you talk about like your mindset with that kind of stuff, and like how you came to like be wanting to share it with the world?
Sure. So, I mean, with Time, that was very much not about sharing it with the world. That was about dealing with it for me. And then it got shared with the world. Everybody, you know, that's how art works. You put it out into the world, and whatever meaning you had for whatever thing is completely fucking irrelevant, except for to yourself, because everybody else is going to put their own life view on it, and it'll mean something completely different to them. So in terms of with time, that was just for me. So this is not so much just for me. I mean, it is in a sense, like I still wrote the songs for me, but knowing that people were going to hear it, like I feel the EP is, I don't know, maybe a little less introspective, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't even know if that's true. That might not that might not be how I'm trying to say it. There is a difference in the songs, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure what it is, because it still just all pretty much came out of me. So mm-hmm. in my mind, I'm just like, well, it sounds like one of my songs, I think. Probably. I wrote it. How the fuck could it not? So, I mean, I don't know. You tell me. You've heard both things. Like, it's different, right?
But yeah, definitely.
But it still sounds like Virginity, I think.
Yeah, I feel like with time, it's kind of more like, you know, like the candid photo. And then this is more like you're posing. not posing. And,
we are straight up posers.
You got your arms crossed, your legs like hip width apart, you know, you got that straight face, giving that tough look to the camera.
Yeah, maybe it's more like somebody was like, hey, I'm going to take your picture, not a candid photo, I'm going to take it. And I was like, okay. But then when we looked at it later, it's like, oh, your eyes are closed.
Yes, and then the next album will be your full-on senior photo.
Yeah, fucking lasers behind me. superimposed two of my faces onto one in a corner looking off at fucking nothing. And then one where me just looking dead-eyed into the camera.
but yeah, you mentioned earlier before about like how you're paying more attention to like the song structure and stuff like that while you're writing for the EP. And I feel like that kind of stands out to me, especially in like Bad Call, with, you know, just kind of the way the parts work together and like the different rhythms that they create. And I feel like it's also really, you know, it works very well with the music video that you made for it, like the handmade shadow puppets and stuff. Like, can you tell me about like that song and the video for it, and how that whole project worked for you?
Sure. So Bad Call, which by now people, you've heard this, if you're listening to this and you like us at all, because it'll be out on May 8th. So there was a while where I had like, I don't know, man, a tickle in the back of my throat. It wasn't like a sore throat, but like I just could feel something, but I couldn't go to the fucking doctor because I didn't have insurance. And I was just like, well, I can't, like, I'm not 100% sure anything's wrong. I can't possibly spend thousands of dollars on this. And I was just having panic attacks every night about it. And I was like, I know I'm dying. I'm certain of it. It's finally going to happen. And so, yeah, like I was just, and I was bugging the shit out of my wife. She was like, just go to the doctor. It doesn't matter. And I was just like, God, it'd be so much money. And she was just like, oh, I'm so fucking exhausted with you. Which, you know, fucking thank God for. I'm an exhausting person, and she continues to deal with it for fucking 15 years. Anyway, so that's what the song is about, is like that period of my life. And it went on for like 3, 4, 5 months. Like I was just like every day I was freaking out. And then the music video. So we signed to Wiretap. That was announced yesterday in real time. A month ago or more for you. Oh, time travel. And he was like, Rob, the guy that runs it, Rob Castellan, cool dude, great label, was like, yeah, I need you guys to make some kind of music video. And that was right at the top of the quarantine. And we're like, we should figure this out. So we started brainstorming. And then all of a sudden, and they were just like, do not go to your friend's house. And we're like, fuck. So then we're trying to think of like, well, what is a way we can do this from our individual places? And then we wrote and recorded at our own houses and made a video for this song, Don't Go Outside, which we wrote and did for a charity. And we shot a video that way as kind of like a test to see if we could do something similar for Bad Call. But we did, it was funny and, you know, kitschy for that song, which was like an over the top song, clearly about the fucking quarantine. That means nothing to any of us really, but we were overall just like, looks like shit, kind of like, this can't be what we're going to show fucking something for real. And so then me and my wife were brainstorming, and I did a shadow puppet on the wall out of boredom. Like, I was just fidgeting with a flashlight in our library. And then I started kind of like mouthing stuff with it on the wall. And then I was just like, yo, what if we just did the music video just like shadow puppets? And then she was just like, holy shit, like, what if we did this? And I was like, okay. And then we have like a head, like we could make like a cutout with like a mouth, right? And she was like, right. And I was like, yeah, and everything will just be happening in the head and we'll just make cutouts of shit. And then like, it just like spiraled and we got super fucking excited about it and just went to work. And it took us like fucking 5 or 6 hours to just like make all of the things and put them together.
Oh, wow.
Like, I mean, it was a shit ton of paper and like fishing line and like, did I send you pictures? Like, it looks so shitty in real life, but the finished product is like insanely good looking.
Yeah, it does look really cool. And I feel like knowing that it's, I think I might have said this to you, like, I feel like knowing that it's hand done makes it so much more effective than if you had like kind of done the same thing, but animated.
yeah, I mean, and I wouldn't have even known how to go about that. I can barely do anything on a computer. So I certainly couldn't have done that. So yeah, it was all hand done. And then it took us like hours and hours to shoot, and we had to have our kids like help us. Like, I was laying on my belly for like 4 hours moving the mouth.
Oh my god.
And while like my wife so we had our son manning the fucking, because I shot this on my phone too. Oh, I had my son manning the phone, and like we had like everything taped down because I was just like, this fucking camera can't move at all. So I had him sitting there gingerly, like, and like every 10 minutes I'm like, careful, Jesus Christ, like his legs kept getting close to the table. And like my daughter was next to me, and she was the one raising stuff up, and my wife was to the side in front of the sheet that we were shooting with, like dropping stuff down, and like we were moving, like, so there were three moving parts happening at once in certain sections.
And how excited were they at the start versus at the end of the project?
My daughter was stoked on it the whole time. My son never wanted to do it. but they were really excited. Like, once we got done and like I cut it all together and stuff, like we all sat down as a family to watch it, and everybody was just like, pretty cool.
Yeah, I can imagine that's a pretty fun project. Like, are you typically a kind of crafty guy / family, or was this really
My wife very much is, which is why all the cutouts look, you know, super sick and stuff. Like, she has a Cricut cutting machine, and she made all the silhouettes from pictures she found on the internet and stuff, and had it cut out and stuff. So like, she's very crafty. I'm not, but I can follow directions. my wife more or less directed the music video.
Nice.
But yeah, it was cool and like a fun, like, family, I don't know, kind of a family experience to like get together and do it. Oh, I also didn't tell anyone in the band about it. I sent them a text and I was like, I have an idea. I'm not going to tell you what it is at all. I'm just going to do it and I'll send it to you when I'm done. And then it took 2 days. And I sent it to them like with nothing. They had zero information. And they called me a couple minutes after I sent them. They were just like, holy shit, this rocks.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's like, how I guess it was easy for it to look professionally made considering like the style of it. So that worked out really well on your part.
Yeah, like that's the thing. It's like, and I kept telling my wife, like, the simpler we make it, like, the better it'll look. And then, you know, and then it was just a matter of just like turning the shadows all the way up and the brightness all the way up. And it just came like crystal clear.
That's awesome. Yeah. And you mentioned, obviously, like the wiretap tap signing. Like, I'm just curious, like, how did that kind of like relationship start to form between you two?
So Rob caught on to with time some kind of way. I honestly have no idea, but I don't know. But to be perfectly honest, I got no fucking idea how anyone finds it. But people do every day. So, presumably it was from, you know, I feel we owe any audience that we have to, Dikembe and the Alternative.
Hell yeah.
Because Dikembe, you know, are very well established, and that they put it out for us and put their stamp of approval on it, like, kind of validated us and legitimized us instantly, though we did not deserve it, like, at all. We haven't played a fucking show. Like, and then, you know, and then Randy had gotten someone to write it up, and then you have also done stuff about it. I assume he found it via the Alternative. I mean, I can't imagine any other way, or just people talking, whatever. And so he reached out to us a while back and was just like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, I'm interested. And then I had sent him demos of Bad Call and maybe something else. And he was just like, all right, this is really cool. And then we had like other offers too on the table. So we had to like think about like what the best option was for us. And I just felt, I just wanted to give it to whoever wanted it the most, I guess. And it seemed to me that Rob wanted it the most. Like, he was patient. He was never like, when's that EP going to be done or whatever. And, but would always check in and just be like, can't wait to hear it and stuff. Like,
yeah.
So that's kind of how that worked. You know, we had a meeting on the phone and stuff, and I met him at Fest this past year. Like, we made a point to get together and chat a little bit.
Nice. And you kind of like, you mentioned like the kind of automatic legitimacy in a way that like Dikembe gave you by helping put out the album and stuff. But I know like you were kind of like in bands in the past, like years and years ago. Like, I'm curious about like your, you know, musical history in that way.
Sure. Well, I mean, no one's heard of my old bands. and I hadn't been in one since, you know, just post high school, which was, you can find it. It's still on the internet. I didn't take it down ever. It's called, oh God, it's called Boy Meets Heart. I know that's a bad name. But at the time, oh baby, it was all swoopy bangs and egos, and it didn't fucking matter. People liked it at the time, okay. And I was unashamed by that fucking awful name. So if you go on Pure Volume, that bullshit's still up there. You can hear, 16, 17 year old me, before I, you know, started and stopped smoking cigarettes. My voice has changed drastically. And yeah, I mean, like, to me, like, the way virginity has gone made any legitimacy that I ever felt for my old band completely disappear, because no one gave a shit about that in comparison to this. Been out of the game so long that it's just like no one remembers that. Like, one person has brought up Boy Meets Heart to me.
Nice.
And I was just like, and I was just like, that is truly fucking insane that you know that.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure you posted like that one of the other guys in the band was like in a band that you used to really like back in the day, right?
Oh yeah, Brownie Points. Yeah, that's Jim, our drummer, and I don't know, co-writer in a sense. I don't know, we're becoming a more collaborative band. You know, it's getting, I'm still, you know, the main songwriter, but like, I'm give them, like, we're washing ourselves free, or we're attempting to wash ourselves free of any sort of ego that would have, you know, any one of us put ourselves above what actually sounds best in the song. So in that sense, we're all becoming a little less, like, all the parts are sort of bleeding together. But Jim played guitar and sang in a band called Brownie Points, which was kind of like a drive-through era pop punk band, but with horns. Like, it wasn't really ska because there wasn't, like, up-picking and shit. Like, it was a pop punk band with horns, and they rocked. Their shit's not online. I constantly try and get Jim to, I'm like, at least make a Bandcamp. That's free. Like, just put it up. I know there's people that want to hear this. And it would make it easier for me because I got to keep these fucking CDs. Come on, man. I still listen to Brownie Points all the time. But they sold out the House of Blues, like, multiple times here in Orlando and stuff. Like, they were fucking really popular here.
That's awesome. So, like, was he kind of, like, someone that you kept in touch with over the years and stuff? Or, like, how did that kind of come together?
Oh, no. We weren't even, like, friends. Like, I mean, he's 10 years older than me. So, like, when I was listening to Brownie Points, I was in fucking middle school. Like, I was just a fan. And I thought that Brownie Points rocked. And then, later in life, I tried to do a little music, like, a solo project in 2005, not long after my high school band fucking shuttered. And I was going to go to Jim to record because he used to, like, record people back then. And I was just like, well, who else would I go to except for the fucking best in Daytona Beach, baby? And so we kind of talked a little bit then. And then my wife, then girlfriend, got pregnant, and his wife was pregnant at the time. So, like, we wound up having kids. His first two kids and my first two kids are born within 3 months of each other, both of them. They're, like, almost the exact same age. Oh, wow. So when they were two, like, so he was like, oh, my wife's pregnant. Interesting. And then we didn't talk for 2 years. And then I reached out to him via Facebook because I just, like, I need somebody to hang out with. Like, we need parent friends, and we didn't have any. And I was just like, I'm going to reach out to Jim. This is fucking weird, but goddammit, me and Jackie need somebody to talk to that's an adult that understand. Like, when we'd hang out with our, you know, our high school buddies and stuff, like, none of them had kids. Like, they were just like, the first mention of responsibility, they would be like, you guys are gross. So I reached out to Jim, and we started hanging out that way. And then we hung out for a decade before virginity, like, and just became friends.
Nice. And I mean, the new EP comes out on June 5th, which I'm guessing is purposeful, with being, like, exactly like a year and a day after with time.
You know, you'd think it is, but it's absolutely not.
It's not? Oh, wow.
it's just how it panned out. Like, we got done and we're like, well, we need this amount of time to do, like, PR stuff. And so, like, he was like, how do you feel about June? Like, Rob picked that date. He was like, nice. About June 5th. And I was just like, oh, weird. Sure.
That's awesome. But, like, how does, I guess, COVID notwithstanding, how does your life now compare to, like, what you would thought it would be, like, a year ago, like, when With Time was getting finished up?
I mean, it couldn't be more different. I've rearranged my life in order to do this band a little more seriously. Like, I don't have a job anymore. That kind of coincided with my wife finishing her degree, and she went to work and instantly started making, you know, fucking way more than I did. And we lived off, and, like, she was a stay-at-home mom, and, like, we were fucking rich or anything, but we were fine, doing better than many people. On what I made. So instantly we had more. And then, like, for a little while we were both working, and I felt like we were fucking Scrooge McDuck swimming around in a fucking pool of coins. And then I was just like, you know, and then people started paying more attention, and I was just like spending more of my free time home, like, doing virginity stuff. And I was just like, you know, my wife was just like, well, you can just quit your job. Like, we don't need you to be working it. And then you won't feel so busy all the time. And I was like, okay, so then I became a stay-at-home dad, and it became, but all of our kids are in school, so it's not like I have shit to do once I drop them off. So I've taken to doing this full time in a sense, but not really, because it's not like we're making any fucking money. We're not at all. I'm sure this, in the grand scheme of thing, if I start looking at receipts, I'd realize this is still a losing game. But I definitely made a big change that way. And just like it's changed like things out of my hands, like, you know, people like, you know, a small swath of people like our band, but a large enough swath for it to feel like important. Like, I think me and Jim and Jordan all kind of felt like, well, this is taking on a little bit of a life of its own. We should really kind of hunker down and see what we can do with it.
And how did the workflow kind of change for you between when you were like still working versus when you like, you know, left your job, especially considering, like you mentioned, like the writing process for you is often like, you know, in chunks.
Yeah. So it's been a little bit, you know, I had written slightly more. I've kind of just continued, like, I'll say that we have about 20 songs for LP2. Like, it's not going to be fucking 20 songs long, but we have a shitload of options as to what the 10 or 11 will be. So I got a lot more of that done, and we're kind of revising now, like, which is like this whole demo process has been truly insane doing it from our own places. It's a lot of sending shit back and forth and being like, what about this? No, you don't like this? Well, fuck, guess we're starting over. Cause there's no way to like make a punch.
Yeah. So like how has that been for you?
I mean, it's fun. And like in the instance of COVID, like, I don't have shit to do. Like, like, we're just in such a weird thing because, like, my wife's a teacher and she's a school librarian. So she can't go to work, but she is still kind of working from home, but only for like a couple hours in the morning. And then, like, other than that, like, we just don't have anything going on at all, which is like making for like a weird atmosphere. I'm sure everyone's feeling that because human beings were not meant to have like this much fucking free time to just like sit around and think about stuff. I feel like I'm going fucking crazy. The demos give me something to do. Like, I'm like, okay, I don't have to think about how fucked up the world is right now. I'm just going to focus on writing this chorus or whatever.
Yeah. And has it made it kind of like your focus now versus beforehand? Like, how is that kind of like for you? How much of a difference has it made? And do you think it's like a positive net difference on the like musical output?
I think it's definitely positive. Like, I mean, if you look at it, like, with Time and the EP were written while I was working. Every song I wrote for With Time is on With Time. There are no B-sides. That's the songs I wrote, and those are them. And the same goes for the EP. And for this, we have 20 options for the next thing. So, like, obviously the output is more, but it's weird because I'm living through it. So to me, I feel like I still feel like I could do more. But even though I've, you know, effectively doubled the amount of output for, you know, the album.
So it also is like, you know, kind of takes place as a coping mechanism in a way.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, the themes are all, you know, the same as they ever were or will ever be, which is, I'm a fucking neurotic person and I'm going to keep being one, unfortunately. and so, you know, sort of similar. Half this next album will be songs about writing songs. we'll see how that fucking pans out for people. And they're just like, this is fuck this guy.
Yeah, we'll probably get a lot of those type of COVID albums. I feel like there's the joke that like every band's like third or fourth album is all the songs about being on tour, but now we'll have all the songs about writing songs.
Yeah, which will be cool, you know, whatever. We'll be on the fucking forefront of it, baby.
And then hopefully you'll be able to write the songs about being on tour, because I'd definitely be excited to catch you live finally once this is all over.
Yeah, we were booking one and then this happened.
Yeah.
So, and then like, I'm not trying to book anything right now. I see people keep moving their tours around. You're free to be hopeful. That's great. Until I get the all clear, I'm not trying to book anything, because I just don't want to. It's so much work and it's so hard and it's so fucking depressing to book a tour. And I just don't want to go through it a second time.
Fair enough.
I don't want to have to re-fucking book it. I'm just going to wait until they say it's okay. And that might put us all. That might put us a little bit behind the eight ball, but I don't give a shit. We're always behind the eight ball anyways, because none of us know what the fuck we're doing.
Everyone will be scrambling once we finally get the all clear anyway. So lots of people will be in the same boat, I'm sure.
By the time that happens, I think our second LP will be at least fully tracked.
Boy.
I would be willing to bet. We're having a little talk about that. And once we're not on the podcast, I'll tell you something that is potentially very fucking exciting.
Oh boy. Well, then I guess that's a good transition to the wrap-up question, which is, you know, just looking for a piece of, you know, advice or something you've been thinking about lately about music or life in general that you just want to share.
Oh, advice. I mean, throw a couple things out here. I mean, in terms of like music stuff, my advice would just be, and this seems very simplistic and what anybody would tell you, it's like the most trite fucking basic observation in the world, but it would just to be, don't overthink it. You know, and an underdone burger is called rare, and an overdone one is fucking a burnt crisp and tastes like shit. The rare one is still edible. I don't know. Don't overthink it. This is like the thing that me and Jim, who's like, he's really the biggest collaborative part of it with me, go back and forth about, because I'm a very first idea, best idea type of guy, and he is very much, let's think about it. But then he can go too far, so we balance each other out by just taking it a few steps ahead, but not fucking overcooking it. And other than that, in terms of being stuck at home, fucking just everybody take care of yourself. Like, everybody, I feel like I can't be the only person that feels like they're a little bit more fucking insane every single day. And just pay attention to yourself, because this can get very dark and depressing. And, you know, put your phone down. I've been making it I'm trying to make it a point to, like, I've had my wife hide my phone from me. I've been like, I'm gonna give this to you at 6 o'clock. I can have it back. If I ask for it back before that, you don't remember where you put it. And that's made for slightly better days. Everyone is just throwing out their opinions, and they have so much time to do it, and it's depressing looking at all that shit. I can't put my finger on why, but you definitely should not be looking at everyone you know and people you don't know's opinions all day long. It fucks with your brain some kind of way.
Yep. I can definitely agree with that. Awesome. Yeah, but was there anything that you wanted to get out about the EP or what y'all are up to that I haven't hit on?
Sure. Well, depending on when this comes out, I guess the single is out May 8th, which this will definitely be after that. So if you haven't watched it or listened to it yet, go watch the music video that we talked about. It's pretty neat. And or go stream it on all the, it'll be on all the things. And we'll be announcing that soonish, I'm sure, at some point. And it'll have some kind of premiere or some bullshit. So follow us on all the things. We're at Virginity is Rad on everything. And our website is virginityisrad.com. And our EP is out 6/5. We spent a lot of time on it, and I think the songs are cool and good. It's called Death to the Party, and that's it.
Dang, that's another sick episode of Fly on the Call in the Bag. I feel like most people who listen to this podcast are probably already fans of Virginity, but if you aren't, please check out the video for Bad Call and prepare yourself for Death to the Party. Thanks to Casey for coming back on, and remember to follow Virginity on social media. Their app Virginity is rad, which is easy to remember because it's the truth. A special thank you as always to The Alternative for helping to promote the show, Kaylin West of Tiny Stills for the theme song, and Michaela Jane Palermo for the artwork. You can keep up to date by subscribing to the podcast and following the show on Twitter and Instagram at FindTheCallPod. Feel free to email any questions, comments, or other feedback to me at findthecallpod@gmail.com. Have a good one, and see you next week.
Hey, what's up? This is Blake Weiland. I'm the host of the Tone Mob Podcast. It's a show where I interview guitar people about guitar stuff. We talk about their pedals, their amps, their accessories, their preferences, all that stuff, as well as a healthy dose of whatever comes up. Topics have ranged from aliens to addiction and anywhere in between. Oh yeah, and pizza. We're definitely going to be talking about pizza. So get the show wherever you're listening to this podcast at. Just search The Tone Mob in your search bar and it will pop right up. Come join us. We're having a lot of fun. Thanks for checking it out.